glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2025. We continue with our series with Pastor Rick Warren titled Seeking God for a Breakthrough. And there's some great review in today's message. Yesterday we looked at how to look at your hand and discern who to pray for. He'll begin now with us learning what to pray for by looking at our other hand and starting with our thumb. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
Now, what do you pray? That's your right hand. And each of these fingers represent five things to pray for. Okay? So on your right hand, my thumb, again, is closest to my heart. So the first thing I want to pray for, write this down, is my heart. I pray for my heart. The Bible says, out of your heart comes the issues of life. The Bible says, guard your heart. It controls your life. Jesus says, love God with all your heart. That's the most important command. The Bible says, do everything with your heart for God. So he says, love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. This is the one all about love. So when I'm praying, what do I pray? I pray for my heart. God, is my heart right with you? Is anything in between me and you? Is there any barrier, any bondage, anything I need to confess? I can pray for my heart. I can pray for the heart of my wife. You can pray for the heart of your husband. You can pray for the heart of your kids. You can pray for the heart of your boss. You can pray for the heart of leaders. You can pray for my heart as your pastor, as your spiritual coach. You can pray for the heart of people around you. And so you start with praying for your heart and for everybody else's heart. Okay, now this finger here is your index finger, and I said it points the way, but it also says, you know, what's most important? What should I do first? And so this represents, now I pray for my priorities and schedule. That's the second thing to pray for. First, you pray for your heart. Second, you pray for your priorities and your schedule. God, what should be first in my life today? How can I put first things first? If you're not praying for your schedule, God isn't blessing your schedule. If you're not praying for your priorities, God isn't blessing your priorities. When I get up every morning, one of the first things I do is pray for, okay, God, what do you want me to do first today? That's one of the first things I pray. God, what do you want me to do first? What should be the number one priority? If I saw your to-do list, you probably have a bunch of things on it, 40, 50 things. They're not all of equal value, right? Not only should you have a to-do list, you should have a don't-do list, things you shouldn't do. Because not everything is worth doing. God doesn't expect you to do everything. He wants you to do the most important thing. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so first I pray for my heart, and I pray for all your hearts, and then I pray for my priorities. What's number one? First things first. Don't major on minors, major on majors. What should I do first? I pray for my schedule. What should I do second? Things like that. So priorities and schedule is the second thing I pray. Then the third thing I pray, again, you got the tallest finger here, and that's the one that stands out. That's the one that everybody sees the most. And this is where you need to pray for your influence. I pray for my influence, and I pray for my example. Because what are people going to see first in me? And so when I'm praying, I say, Lord, I'm getting ready to start a new day. People are going to see things in my life. It's going to stand out. It's going to stand up above everything else. And so I want to be a good influence today. I don't want to be a bad influence. I want to be a good witness. I want to be a good example. So you're praying for your influence. It's okay to pray for God to give you more influence. That's okay. It's okay to pray for God to help you be an example to other people. That's okay. And so I pray for my heart, and then I pray for my priorities and schedule, and then I pray for my influence and my example. God, help me to be a good example today at work, that people see Jesus in me. Okay, then we come to the fourth, and you know, that's your ring finger, you know, your ring finger. And so the fourth thing you pray for is relationships. You pray for your relationships. And you go, God, my relationship to my friends, my relationship to my family, my relationship to my spouse if I'm married, my relationship to my small group, my relationship to the people I work with, my relationship to people I serve in ministry with. You pray for your relationships around you. And then five, the fifth one, the little finger, You pray for material blessings, material blessings. And you ask God to bless your life materially. There's nothing wrong with asking God to bless your life materially. In fact, over and over in Scripture, you're commanded to pray to God for material blessing. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Now, God's not supposed to make everybody a millionaire. He doesn't say that. But just a couple of verses after this verse, he says this, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All your needs. God will supply all my needs, not all my greeds, but all my needs. God hasn't said, "Oh, I'm going to give everybody a Mercedes or a Bentley or what." No, no. He says, but it's okay to pray for material blessing. The Bible says that it's okay to pray for. It's just not the most important thing. It's the last thing I pray for. Now, the businessman who only prays that his business will succeed, you'll make a lot of money, has already missed this and already missed this. It's okay to pray for that. It's just last. It's just in the last place. Does that make sense? So when you pray, okay, let's just see if we can remember what we can remember. Okay, on the hand of who to pray for, what does the thumb represent? Family and friends, people closest to my heart, okay? And then my index finger, go that way, point the way, or don't you do that, okay? Okay, and then the tallest finger, pray for, got it, influencers, the people who stand out in our society, celebrities, and others who influence society for good or bad. We want them to influence for good. Okay, then the weakest finger is what? Yeah, people who are sick, people who are poor, the elderly, children, people with special needs, all the people that are marginalized by society, you know, people who don't have the advantages. Pray for those who are in a period of weakness. And then the smallest finger is what? Myself. Yeah, I pray for me. And it's perfectly fine to pray for yourself. I just don't start with me. Okay? And then on the right hand, there are five things we pray. And the first one is my what? My heart. God, is my heart right with you? I want my heart to be right with you. The Bible says the most important thing in life is to love God with all my heart and love my neighbors and stuff. It's all about love. Okay? And then I pray for the heart of my kids. And I pray for the heart of my spouse. Or I pray for the heart of my friends. Or I pray for the heart of my coworkers. Okay? And then, what's this? Priorities and schedule. What should I do first today? You ask God, help me to get the most important thing done today and not worry about all the stuff that I was left undone. Okay? Then tallest is what? My example and my influence. Okay? Lord, help me to be a good example of you today. Help me to be a good influence today, a good witness today. And then the ring finger, relationships, all right? And then the little finger, material blessing. You got it? Okay. Now, if you can remember that, if you spent 15 seconds on each one, pretty soon your time's up. You're going, I could never pray 5 minutes. Yes, you can. Just like this. Just like this. Now, I want to challenge you for the next 30 days. And by the way, why are we doing this for 34 days? Because it takes about 30 days to build a habit. You got to do it every day. I don't want you just doing it every day. I want for 30 days. I want you to do it the rest of your life. But if you don't do this for 30 days, you're certainly not going to do it the rest of your life. But if you will build these four habits into your life, first, don't worry about anything. I automatically seek God. I focus on God, not the problem. And then I pray about everything. You're going to have breakthrough. Now, let me show you a great thing that Jesus says. Up here in Matthew 6, verse 6 from the Message paraphrase says this. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a quiet, secluded place, you know, for these three times a day when you do 5-minute conversation with God, so you won't be tempted to role play before God. In other words, you're not doing this in front of other people to show off. You're not standing up in Starbucks saying, oh, dear God, you know. Yeah, wow, that guy's really holy. Look at him over there praying. And they go, wow. No, you don't do this in front of anybody. You do it by yourself. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you're not showing off. You're not role-playing before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God. And you will begin to sense His grace. And that is what you need for a breakthrough. You need God's grace in your life. Now, here's the third habit. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Third is thank God in all things. Thank God in all things. I said it earlier. Gratitude is the breakthrough attitude. The more grateful you are in life, the more breakthroughs you'll have in life. The more grateful you are in life, the more breakthroughs you'll have in life. This is the third part of Philippians 4, verse 6. Ask God for whatever you need, but always do it, circle these two words, with thanksgiving. He says, it's okay to ask whatever you need, just ask God, but do it with thanksgiving, asking him with a thankful heart for all he's done. If your kids came to you all the time, said, hey, daddy, give me, give me, give me, give me, mommy, give me, give me, give me, and they never told you, I love you, or they never said, thank you, you'd begin to wonder, do they even care about me, or am I just seen as a vending machine? But, you know, you pull the lever and you get whatever you need. Whenever you ask God for something in your life, you should be grateful for all the stuff he's already given you. And he says, no matter what you ask for, you need to ask with the attitude of gratitude. You need to ask it with thanksgiving. And he says, ask God whatever you need, but do it with thanksgiving, asking him with a thankful heart for all he's done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, notice it says this is God's will. A lot of people go, I'd like to know God's will for my life. I don't even know what it is. I haven't the foggiest idea. What is God's will for my life? God's not going to show you step two until you do step one, and here's step one. Be grateful. This is God's will. If you're not being grateful, if you're not thanking God in prayer every day, why is God going to show you step two? He says, my will is this. First, be grateful for what I've already given you. Your life, your breath, your mind, your eyes, your ears, your senses, your freedom, your brain, the air you breathe, the food you eat, everything you have is a gift from me. And he says, be grateful in all things. Now, circle the word in. Give thanks in all circumstances. It does not say give thanks for all circumstances. Big difference. There are a lot of things in life you should not be thankful for. If somebody in your family gets cancer or, you know, has leukemia, you should not be thankful for disease. No, that would be masochistic. You should never be thankful for evil. When a woman is abused or a child is molested or a baby is killed or somebody gets raped, you should never be thankful. It doesn't say for all things, give thanks. It says in every circumstance, not for, in. Why? Because even in bad things, God can bring good out of it. It's not good. There's a lot of bad in the world. War is bad. Bigotry is bad. Racism is bad. People hurting each other is bad. Lying, gossiping, those are bad things. We shouldn't be grateful for those things. But God says, I am bigger than even than your sin, and I can actually bring good even out of bad. He turns crucifixions into resurrections. He can bring blessings out of buffeting. He can bring promises out of pain. He can bring good out of bad. That's what God does. He transforms the bad things in our lives into good things, and he uses them for good. So it doesn't say you're supposed to be grateful for bad things that happen. No, that's wrong. You don't have to be that. But in everything, you can be grateful. Why? Because I know, A, God has a plan for my life. B, God can use everything in my life. C, it's not going to last forever, the pain. Four, I'm going to heaven. Five, he's going to use it for my character. I could give you 50 things that I could be thankful for. And instead of saying, why is this happening to me? I should be asking, what do you want me to learn? When I learn, then I grow more like Christ. That's a good thing. And so he says, thank God in all things. And so God wants you to give thanks. Thanksgiving for a Christian is not a holiday. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. You should be giving thanks every single day of your life. Now, it is sad to me that Thanksgiving is really not about thanksgiving to God anymore. Today, there will be very little actual thanksgiving to God. Maybe there might be a very brief prayer before everybody digs in and starts eating the food. But today, Thanksgiving in America is primarily about football and food, not about God. And almost even Christian families will give that much time on Thanksgiving Day in actual Thanksgiving. It will be primarily taken up by watching football, fixing the meal, eating the meal, and cleaning up the meal. So I want to recommend that you actually set aside some time on Thanksgiving to actually give thanks. The Bible says this, Psalm 16, verse 17, I will offer you my sacrifice of thanksgiving. God says that when you express thanks to God, he accepts it as a sacrifice. It's like you're making a sacrifice to God when you express your thanksgiving. So how do you do that? Let me give you a couple ways. I could give you 10 or 12, but I'll just give you two real quick. Here's one way you can give thanks in all things. Number one, by writing out a thank you list. You could write out a thank you list. And I would encourage you to do that since this is Thanksgiving week. This would be a good week to do it. Sit down and make a list of 50 things you're thankful to God for. There's something real about actually writing it out. If you sit there with your eyes closed, you try to think up 50 things, you'll probably go to sleep. So don't do that. Keep your eyes open, pull out a piece of paper. Francis Bacon said, reading makes a man broad, writing makes a man exact. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. And when you write something down, that's specific. God, I want to thank you for this. God, I want to thank you for this. God, I want to thank you for this. See if you can come up with a list of 50 things to thank God for. And write those down. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 1, tell the Lord how thankful you are. So that's an attitude of gratitude. It is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Here's another way that God tells us to give thanks. By giving God a thanksgiving offering. By giving God a thanksgiving offering. We do a thanksgiving offering every year at Saddleback. We do it simply because God says to do it. He said it for thousands of years. On Thanksgiving, he says, you give me an offering. Why? Thanks and giving go together. Duh. The way we give thanks and the way we express our thanksgiving is by giving. And so it's not a selfish day. It's an unselfish day. And we give a portion back to God as an offering. And we say, God, you've blessed us so much. You know, long before the pilgrims thought up the idea of thanksgiving, thousands and thousands of years earlier, God had said, once a year, I want you to have a day of thanksgiving. I want you to have a feast. I want you to celebrate. I want you to eat. And I want you to give me an offering. It's all through the Old Testament. Here's an example. Deuteronomy 16, verse 10. Celebrate the harvest festival. That's what Thanksgiving is, all of the harvest. To honor the Lord your God by bringing him a thanksgiving offering in proportion to the blessing he's given you. So this week, you know what you need to do? You need to go back and say, did God bless me any this year? If you did, you give him an offering of some kind. He said, in proportion to the blessing. If you're blessed a lot, you give a lot. If you're blessed a little, you give a little. He said, in proportion to the blessing he's given you. And I express my thanks by giving. The bottom line is that I give my thanks to God by actually giving. All right? Let's go to the fourth habit. I worry about nothing. I pray about everything. I thank God in all things. I begin to develop these habits. And here's the fourth one. I stay focused on true things. I stay focused on true things. And that's what the Bible says in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 8. And this is all about a mental change, a mental fix, a mental switch. Philippians 4, 8. Fix your thoughts on things that are true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And fill your mind with thoughts that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now notice in that verse, you might underline this. Fix your thoughts, think about things, and fill your mind. This is a mental habit. Fix your thoughts, think about things, and fill your mind. Friends, this is the fourth key to a breakthrough in your life. And it's just as important as the other three, thanksgiving and praying and fasting. He says, you got to stay focused on true things. Now, the fact is, your mind is bombarded with lies every single day. You lie to yourself. In fact, you lie to yourself more than you lie to anybody else. And you tell yourself things are good when they're not as good as they should be. And you tell yourself things are really bad when they're not as bad as you think they are. We lie to ourselves all the time. Other people lie to you. But most of all, society lies to you. And you're bombarded every day with lies that simply aren't true about you. Our society says this: if you're not beautiful, you don't matter. Advertisements, movies, everything around you tells you, if you're not good looking, you don't matter. That's a lie. Our society tells you, if you're not wealthy, you don't matter. It's not true. It's a lie. Our society tells you, when you're in school growing up, if you're not good at academics or athletics, you don't matter. You're the non-entity student. You don't get the rewards. It's a lie. You do matter. Society tells you, if you're not smart, if you don't think a certain way, you don't matter. It's a lie. This world is full of lies about you, and you've believed many of them. And you have felt bad about yourself, and they're just not true. You matter to God. You're His child. And that's what makes you important. The fact that if God created you, and Christ died for you, and the Spirit lives in you, you're not junk. You're of supreme value. But there are a lot of things you've been told all through your life, some by your parents, some by your friends, some by teachers, and they just weren't true. Some of you were told you're uncoordinated. Some of you said you'll never amount to anything. You've heard things that just aren't true. Now, the only way to counter those lies is you've got to fill your mind with the truth. Jesus said, when you know the truth, what? It'll set you free. To be set free means to have a breakthrough. I want you to be set free in the next 34 days. The only possible way you can do that is you got to be in this book every day, even if it's just for a few minutes. I mean, think about this scale. Over here, you're spending hours on social media or internet or Netflix or TV or radio or all the other sources of media out there, and seconds with this book. Well, how in the world are you going to have a healthy mind if you're filling your mind with lies instead of the truth? God will never lie to you. Everybody else does. Not everything you hear is true. Not everything you tell yourself is true. And so you've got to get into this book every day. Now, where are you going to get that truth? From the Word of God. Now, what's the result of if I do these four things? If I get my focus off my worries and get them on God, if I pray about everything instead of worrying about everything, if I thank God in all things, and if I keep my mind on the right thing, what's the result? Well, verse 7, look at this. Here's what it says on the screen. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. Hello, I like that. Which is far more wonderful, far more powerful than we can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and emotions at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you like to have that? And how would you like to have your heart and your mind and your thoughts and your emotion at rest? That's a breakthrough everybody needs. Less stress, more rest. Anybody want that? Less stress, more rest? Yeah, I'd like that one. Well, it says do these four habits that we're going to do together. Now, let me close with a really powerful promise of God. It's in Job chapter 11. This is going to blow your mind. This is what God says. If you'll do these things, seek God and the things that we've just talked about. Here's what the Bible says, Job chapter 11. Surrender your heart to God, okay? I'm all yours. I resolve to seek the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Surrender your heart to God. Stretch out your hands to Him in prayer. We just talked about a simple way to do that. You can do it like this, you can do it like this. Stretch out your hands to Him in prayer and give up all your secret sins. Then, instead of feeling shame, you'll be confident and fearless. As your pastor who loves you, I want you to be confident and fearless. He says, if you do those things, and then he says this, here's the rest of the promise. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge. I like that. Your darkest hour will become as bright as morning. I like that. You'll feel safe and secure. I like that. Filled with hope. I like that. Emptied of worry. I like that. And you will sleep without fear. You're going to sleep better. Anybody want that? That's good stuff. This is not Madison Avenue talking. This is God talking. You just got to do it God's way. Are you ready for a breakthrough? Are you willing to start practicing these four habits?
Yes, count me in. How about you, listening friend? Will you work on these four habits and get that breakthrough from God? 1, don't worry about anything. 2, pray about everything. 3, thank God in all things. And 4, stay focused on the true things. What a powerful message in this series by Pastor Rick Warren, seeking God for a breakthrough. And we'll continue with more in this theme on next Tuesday and Wednesday during Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to hear it again, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab. There are so many wonderful things covered, and I suggest you continue to look at Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Memorize them, as they'll bless your heart. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.